1 Corinthians chapter 3, the biggest frustration with this Bible study is those who need it the most listen the least, and those who need it the least listen the most. And the people who can profit the greatest from tonight's Bible study is going to be the young people. The younger you are, the more you benefit from this Bible study. The older you are, many of us, there's several in here that are older than I am, some have done things to their body that they should not have, and now they are paying the price for it. I want to give you some Bible teaching on health tonight. What does the Bible say about taking care of your body? And somebody said, I've heard over-pious people, and I think this is a little ridiculous statement to make, but it goes something like this. Well, I just focus on the spiritual. Well, wait a second. You only have one body to serve God. You've only got one body. If you damage it, if you hurt it, then yeah, it has nothing to do with your salvation, but it will greatly limit what you're able to do for the Lord. And so, please don't mistreat your body. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and look at verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So the church is not the temple of God. And I understand the old statement, and I'll at times sometimes say, you know, when you're in the house of God, respect the house of God, and there ought to be a sanctity about coming to church, and there ought to be. That's why we dress up. That's why we try to keep the place clean. But does God live here? No. God lives here in your body. You are the temple of the Lord if you're saved. Amen. You're the temple. So God says this. Watch this. Look at verse number 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. That's a strong... That means if you hurt your body, God judges that. Now, most of the time, God won't have to strike you with lightning. God just lets what you choose to do, the foolishness with your body, He lets it go to the end and you self-destruct. That's why when we say, show me in the Bible where smoking is a sin, it does not say anywhere in the Bible that thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. It does say this, don't hurt your body. Read verse 17 again. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God, your body, is holy, which temple ye are. That's a good verse. That should be encouraging. That's why we don't do things that's why you shouldn't tattoo your body. Now, I know some people got tattoos after they got saved. I understand. Before they got saved, excuse me. Sorry. They got tattoos before. That's all under the blood. Aren't you glad? Amen. But God says your body is holy. That's why we don't cut it. We don't do stupid things like that. Your body's holy. You don't want to do drugs that hurt it. You want to take care of your body. Now you're in chapter 3. Go to chapter 6. Go to chapter 6 and look at verse number 18. Chapter 6 and verse number 18. You're in chapter 3. Now go to chapter 6 and look at verse 18. Ready? Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So if I just stop there just for a second, fornication is the most unique sin in the Bible. In other words, it says here it's the only sin that you can commit that is against your body. Drinking. You would think somebody would say alcohol kills brain cells and damages your life. And you would think God doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. God says drinking's a sin. God says drinking's cursed. But God doesn't say of alcohol what He says of fornication. He doesn't say of murder. If one person hurts another person's body, you understand, or kills it or takes their life, God doesn't say that. God says this sin of fornication is one of the most unique sins in the Bible. It's the only one that God mentions this about. Watch this as you keep on going. Look at verse number 19. What? Know ye not, He's going to say it again, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have in you, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when somebody makes a statement that goes something like this, I just pay attention to the inward. God says you're supposed to glorify God with your body. I understand, but you're not doing all God told you to do. I don't focus on the outer. I just focus on the inward. And it sounds like a pious statement, doesn't it? It sounds like I just focus on inner qualities of character. God says how you dress, how you walk, your body language, everything, you're supposed to glorify God in all of it. Amen? That's good, especially in this day and age. Well, how you dress isn't important. Glorify God in your body. Your body is supposed to bring glory to the Lord. Okay, enough on that. Here we go. I'm showing you some verses that your body is important. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You see, the reason I'm doing this is I'm not for having church calisthenics. We're going to go down to the church house and all the guys leave and they have aerobics in the back of the church to Christian music and it's fantastic. Do that at your house. Amen. I know churches that do that, and don't tell me later on who does it in the area. But no, you go over to somebody else's house for that. However, I'm also not against you getting exercise either. Amen. I think exercise is good. You say, how come? Because look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. God doesn't say don't exercise. God doesn't have the attitude when you read your Bible, just focus on the inward, don't focus on the outward. God doesn't say that. Bodily exercise does profit a little. I had my physical today down at the VA outpatient center in Charlotte Hall. And they said, your cholesterol is too high and you better start exercising. And 2 days is a great starting point there. And I was like, okay. Before, I love exercising with my wife. I got her this bike that she pedals and I got a sidecar for it. And I sit there and eat a sandwich and cheer her on saying, come on, baby, you can do it. Five more. We exercise together. Now I got to get out of the sidecar and get on the bike. Here God says, bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit. It doesn't say that it's not profitable. I want you to go to one more spot. Ready? One more spot. Look at 3 John. You got 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Back there by Revelation. Ready? 3 John, verse number 2. Watch this. And then I'll give you some points here that show you some scriptural, I think some Bible principles on health. You say, why would you do that? Because we're going into the holiday season. And I was going to do something on fasting, but that's even crueler. You understand? What? Before Thanksgiving? Why would you do that? And we'll do something on fasting after Christmas, but for right now, let's look at some Bible principles on health, okay? Look at 3 John chapter 2. There's only one chapter. Verse 2, 3 John, verse 2, ready? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God says, I want you physically. He knows you only got one body to serve God with. Please take care of it. He said, I hope you, and I'll get into some areas here of pain here in a little bit, but he says, I want your body to prosper just like your soul is prospering. And no, our bodies don't last forever. However, take care of your body. Number one, I'll give you some points tonight, and if you want to just listen, I'm going to go through them quickly. But number one, sickness is not always an act of God's discipline upon you. That's important to understand. I was in one church, and this is about 3 churches ago, and one lady said, every time somebody got lice, every time, she would, you know, one of the kids in the Christian school would get lice. She'd go, "Lice is a plague in the Bible." Well, yeah, it's a plague in the Bible. God brought the plague on the Egyptians. And I was like, you can't talk to the kids that way. Rich people and poor people get lice. And so, you know, that wasn't, you know, what you'd call really a true sickness, but just her thinking, it happened every time. And I would just tell her to, you know, to please stop. And, you know, I wasn't mean to her, but I was like, you need to, and, but anyway, sickness is not always an act of God's discipline upon you. Sometimes sickness is an act of God's judgment. In Exodus, God did kill the firstborn. God did afflict the firstborn because of sin in Pharaoh's and the Egyptians' life until they let the Hebrew children go. But you don't know why others get sick or die, so don't ever to pretend to know. The only person that knows is the person who's sick. Other than that, we're supposed to love each other and take care of each other. It's not my job to figure out how come you're going through what you're going through. You understand? That's yours and the Lord's job. Amen? Number two. So I said, number one, sickness is not always an act of God's discipline upon you. Number two, all healing comes from God. All healing comes from God. I'll give you a verse, and I'm going to read it because I'm going to watch the time tonight. But Luke chapter 8 says this, verse 43, "And a woman having an issue of blood, she was hemorrhaging inside 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." She'd been to every doctor in the land. "Came behind him," Jesus, "and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched, and Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.'" And the lady was made whole. Doctors couldn't help her. Healing comes only from the Lord. That leads me to my next point. Number three, medicine and surgery can be used by the Lord to heal. To me, I don't have a problem. Well, as a matter of fact, I've never taught anybody you shouldn't go to a doctor. I will say this, as far as I think it's a miracle that God can use one sinner to help another sinner and prescribe the right medicine and do the right surgery and guide their hands. I do think that, isn't that a miracle? I think that's something that God can use. I call that healing from the Lord. There's only one that heals, and that is the Lord. be careful, and let me just say this before I move on to the next point. Be careful about allowing them to cut on you. Anytime you do a major surgery, you should get a second opinion. That's why, now, here we go. You ready? They're practicing medicine. That's why it's called medical practice. Ask them this question. I've watched people go through surgeries, major surgeries, that did not fix the problem. Not every person. I have watched that. That was a pastor. Ask them this question before it's done. Are you sure this is going to fix the problem? Ask them. Don't just, "Well, the doctor said," and I've watched a lot of people, "Well, the doctor said." They're practicing medicine. Had a doctor get in my wife's face when we were in Tennessee, and one of the vaccinations caused one of our children to go into seizures, and so our kids didn't get vaccinated. And one doctor got in our face and he said, "Your kids, you better get your kids vaccine." And I said, "If you can guarantee me nothing will happen to my children," I said, "you put it on paper." And I said, "If you can't guarantee anything that's not going to happen to my kids, I'll own this hospital." I said, "I promise." "Well, I don't know that." I said, "Then if you don't know how that vaccine's going to affect my kid, why are you pushing me so hard to do this?" And I said, "I'll tell you exactly why, because you get paid for every vaccine you give, and money is the bottom of it. You don't care about my kids." And he backed off. But until I did that, he was, "You got to get your kid vaccine, you don't care." And I said, "You better back off." You can guarantee my kids won't have an allergic reaction and that their body will respond exactly the way it's supposed to, but you didn't test one of them. You just said, line them up and poke them. And I said, my kids aren't lab rats. Neither is my wife. Now, if you can guarantee me that that's what's going to happen, then that's fine. But don't bark at me because of it. Now, every doctor is not like that. Praise God. Aren't you glad? However, I'm telling you, they get money. You understand? They get paid for every procedure. And I've watched people be put through procedures that did not help them. Let me make one more statement. As we go into government health care that is, quote, free, you better be careful. If there is no free lunch, you've heard that? They can test drugs on you or deny you if you don't take what they tell you to take. You know how many people I've watched messed up for that? They're on welfare, or they're the, quote, according to the government, they're the low life of society, and so now they test drugs on them. I've had people come dripping with sweat. You knew, and it was like, Pastor, I'm sorry, the medicine. I said, where'd you get the medicine? The doctor said he gave it to me Friday, and I think it's the wrong stuff. I said, yeah, it looks like it's the wrong stuff. Be careful as we go into what you're watching happen with the government health care, and it's free for everyone. There's no free lunches. So please be careful. Ready? Number four. Ready? On health. Sometimes God chooses not to provide healing. If you 2 Corinthians, matter of fact, go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Sometimes God does not provide healing. God chooses to not provide healing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7, and I hope you're this familiarizes you with this. I feel like there's an echo. Is there an echo, or is it just me? Is a little bit? Turn me down just a smidgen. That's a pigeon that's been smeared on the highway by a semi-truck. A smidgen. Okay, never mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Ready? Here we go. And lest I should be exalted above measure, this is Paul talking, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Here's the greatest Christian, I think, that ever walked the face of the earth, other than the Lord Jesus, obviously. No one has been used like Paul has. And he said, God allowed Satan to buffet my body. He had a thorn in the flesh. Most believe it was when he saw the bright light on the road to Damascus. From that point on, he said, you see how large letter I've written unto you. Most believe it was an eye problem. Most believe it, if your eyes are damaged and things, you've seen people just sometimes tear all the time, and they talk about scaling. Many believe, we'll find out when we get to heaven, but Paul had a physical problem that he said, Satan was allowed to afflict my body. And I said, Lord, please take this away. God, I could serve you a lot better if I could just see better. If I could, Lord, please. He said, three times I asked God to take it away. And he said, three times God said no. Now, wait a second. When you look at the next verse, verse 8, well, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said, God said to Paul, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or my sicknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, the things I need, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake, and then what a phrase, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said this, so listen closely. Paul said, God determined that he could get more glory from my life by afflicting me so he could teach others how to suffer. When that lady in our church had the Down syndrome baby, it did something to our church. This was in Tennessee. Never forget her coming to church for the first time, and you look at the baby and you know something's different. And I told her, our church needed your affliction because it drew us together as a church. And when we suffer, sometimes God says, I won't take it because I can get more glory if you'll just stay close to me. Don't get bitter. Oh, how come God didn't take this from me? Because God says, I get more glory if you walk with me and you'll teach others. I'm going to tell you something. When I watched that, I watched every move that dad made because I knew he was going through a valley. Here's a child that'll never be normal. It's going to be, you could call it educably slow, you can call it retarded, Down syndrome, whatever you want to call it. Here's a burden they're going to bear for the rest of their life until the baby passes. And they normally live to about 12. That's the normal lifespan. Sometimes they live a little older. Depends on how big the hole in their heart is, right? I watched every move that dad made. Because I wasn't going through a valley. Do you understand? He was. And I said, he's staying close to the Lord. He's not bitter. And he was one of my friends. He was one of my roommates in college. I knew he was a holy man. And I said, that man's got the power of God on his life. I watched everything he did. Sometimes God says, I can teach others through you how to deal with the pain. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Next, on health. Ready? Everyone suffers from some type of sickness. Everyone. We're all dying because of sin. Look, if you doubt me, ready? We start out with no hair, no teeth, and we eat mushy food. And then we end up with no hair, no teeth, eating mushy food. It just goes full circle, see? It goes full circle. All of us are going to die. Someday, we just hope it's very slow. Amen? Okay, all right. Average life, 70 years. So everyone does suffer at some time with sickness or pain. Next. The anointing oil from the man of God or the pastor shows our faith that can heal if God chooses. Please take your Bible real quick and go to James chapter 5. The anointing oil from the man of God or the pastor shows our faith that God can heal if he chooses. James chapter 5. Look at verse number 14. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse number 14. Ready? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. There we have it. The faith that it takes for you to come to your pastor and say, I am sick, would you pray for me? I keep olive oil in my office. I keep it right there on my desk. I don't advertise it when somebody, but when they say, I'm sick, pastor, would you pray for me? It's not me. It's not my prayer. I am nothing. It is when, if God wants to, He can. And what triggers it? Your faith in the Bible. God said, is any sick among you? Then go to the elder, that's the same word for pastor, and let him anoint you with oil. And the prayer of faith. It's not, oh, our pastor has the gift of healing. No. Your faith in the Bible, that's what God said do. If God wants, He can heal. If He wants to, He can heal. My greatest regret as a pastor is I wish this wasn't the last choice. Remember the one text, the lady that met Jesus, she'd been to all the physicians and spent all her living and nobody was able to help her. Remember? Well, guess I'll go to the pastor and have him pray for me. I think it ought to be your first choice. Amen? I don't think it should be, well, I've tried everything else. I guess I'll do what the Bible says. I think as a Christian we should have a better approach to the Bible than that. And I did want to say this, it's not me. But I've seen wonderful things happen, too. I've seen wonderful things happen. Had one lady in our church, she was hemorrhaging. She had like three spots that she was bleeding on the inside. And she was getting ready to go in for surgery. And she called myself and the other one down to the hospital. And we prayed for her, and her surgery was due in like 4 hours. And I'll never forget it. we prayed. And every time I pray, I always say this, Lord, you're not on trial. But you said ask, so we're asking. And if you don't, Lord, you're still a good God. Amen. We're not here to make sure that you're. I said you're always God and you're high and lifted up. But Lord, you said ask, so we're asking. Please heal. And they tested her beforehand, and the doctor came in and said, "Blood is stanched. It's done." I've seen God heal. I have seen God heal. Because someone said, I'll call the pastor and let him. Oh, and sometimes when a lady can't have a, when a couple gets married and they can't have a baby, they'll come to the pastor and say, would you pray that, because what? The opening of the womb is of the Lord. It says that three times in the Bible. God opened her womb and she conceived. That's of the Lord. So it's an appeal to the Lord. James chapter 5, I don't think is Pentecostal. We're Baptists. We read the Bible literally, and that's what God says do. Amen. And it ought to be recommended. Next, just another quote on that. Modern day healers are stealers, and they're liars, and they're charlatans, and don't follow that garbage at all. Number next. Don't place burdens on loved ones when sickness comes. When someone is sick, don't blame someone else. Just love them. I've heard people say, I have this sickness because my mom and dad had this sickness. That's not, I inherited this. This is hereditary. Nobody needs to hear that garbage. Emotions do this, especially if it's a really bad sickness that people find out about, and then people start being nasty to each other, and I don't think that's Christian at all. Number next. Because children are more prone to sicknesses, they need to be watched out for. That's how come we don't allow children with any snotty, runny nose in the nursery. If it's running and yellow, no. Then they cannot go in. You say, why? Because they're prone for it. You understand? When they're young. That's how come they don't let children up through the age 11 up to the hospital. You understand? Because what? They're just more prone to sickness when they're young. So no problem. Doesn't mean they're wicked. It just means you got to be careful with them. And you got to be careful, and they can infect others. That leads me to this next thing. Also, the older people need to be careful. And it's sad for me when people will complain about the church and how dirty the nursery is. Those same people take their kids to Walmart and will put their... They don't even take a handy wipe and wipe off the shopping cart. But they'll, the church nursery's dirty, and I wouldn't put my kid in there because it's so filthy, and it's cleaner than their house. Ouch! Okay. It's cleaner than their house, and then they'll go right to Walmart, one of the dirtiest, nastiest places. Have you ever watched some of the people shop at Walmart? We don't have people like that here. And then they're doing this all over the holder thing. You know what I mean? It's for... I was like, that's gross. But our church is dirty. Well, I don't bring my kids to church because the church is dirty. But they'll take them everywhere else in Mechanicsville. Okay, I've made my point. Let's go back. Let's go back. I think that's sad. Number next. Older people need to be careful, too. Since they're more susceptible, they need to be careful with their health and as they get older. And next, be careful. Financial problems are often the result of health problems. Ask a doctor when he tells you, you need this done. Say, how much is this going to cost? They wanted me to get a bridge on my teeth. You got a bad tooth. You need a bridge. I said, how much is a bridge? Well, it's done in two stages. You come in now, and then it'll dry, and you come in 3 weeks later, and we'll put the rest. I said, how much is a bridge? Well, how much is a... I asked him three times. Well, it's $2,400. $2,400. I said, did you know I don't have $2,400? I said, how much is it to pull the stupid tooth?
Well, you don't want to do that because then that causes an unevenness and the biting. And then when the tooth doesn't have a...
I said, how much is it to pull the tooth?
Well, it's $98.
Pull the tooth! Pull the tooth, for crying out loud. I said, I'm over 35. That means I've lived over half my life, for crying out loud. Pull the tooth! And I got a tooth missing in my jaw. And he said, well, now you know what bridge is. I said, are you interested if I can pay this or not, Doc? I said, I can't pay that. Do you understand? I don't have dental insurance. He was upset the whole time.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was like, come on, pull the tooth, you know. Ask him. When the doctor says, you have to have this done, say, how much will it cost? Do you realize when you're sick, you miss a day of work, then you have to buy the medicine, then you have the return visit to the doctor, if that's what it takes? So many times, financial problems can often be the result of health problems. Ready? Self-inflicted health problems lead to self-inflicted financial problems. Many people in their older age rue the day they could have taken care of their body and they didn't. And then their body suffers, and then they have extra health costs because of it. Insurance should be a reason for accepting a new job or not. Insurance and those perks, and I know we're getting into weird stuff with Obamacare and all that garbage, but it's something you do need to think about. Ready? Watching the time. Please be careful about running to the doctor for every little thing. Now, I'm not poor mouthing nothing, but having five kids, we might go to the doctor once or twice a year. And I've watched some parents, every time, he sniffled, quick, get him to the emergency room. And it's like, so an emergency room visit's worth $150. And in some cases, it's $200. And that's just to go there. That's not counting the medicine. Do you realize what God's plan in a church is? The younger ladies called the older ladies. Call an experienced mom and you could get a lot cheaper advice that'll work. Call someone. We had moms in our church that had one lady. She had seven kids. She knew her stuff. My kid's got a fever and said, oh, okay, well, check this, this, and this. Oh, yeah, he is teething. Okay, this. Well, and then you watch the other extreme. The mom that every time a kid has a sore throat, they always go, he's got strep! Strep! You know what I mean? Can I tell you something about strep? I've only seen two people with full-blown strep in my life, and they were flat on their back and non-coherent. When strep hits, sore throat isn't strep. Everybody's got strep. And I'm sitting here going, that's not strep. Let me teach you something. Can I help you? You know what we get? I've always been taught, and I use this a lot, and I hope this helps you. You know those little things of emergency, little packets you can get of 1,000 grams of vitamin C? Vitamin C will take you a long way. I think vitamin C ought to be in everybody's house. Anytime I get a sore throat or anything, I... And I mean it. You take vitamin C, and 1,000 grams a day will get you through almost anything. Not everything, but it will get you through a lot. They get the little box up at the Amish grocery store, but that's the emergency. Every family, it ought to be with every family. You know what I mean? Please be careful about running to the doctor for every little thing. I didn't say don't go to the doctor. I just said call an older mother. All fever. Did you know all fevers aren't supposed to be cooled? Did you know that the Lyme's disease that has, it's the silent epidemic right now in America, it's got three bacteria in it. Two of the bacteria are killed by 102 degree fever. And then the other two can't activate. You understand if it kills it? There are some fever, I didn't say all, so please be careful. And no fever is supposed to go 104. I think everybody knows that. But there's some fevers you're supposed to let run its course because it cooks the little boogers. It does. It cooks the sickness in you. But the moment it's like, oh, they got a fever, we got to cool it down. If it's the flu, you might want to let it run its course a little bit. You understand? You understand? So be careful. We got this mentality, if I'm going through any pain or anything, I'm supposed to immediately stanch it and stop it. Be careful. Sometimes it's good to let things run its course a little bit. Ready? Next, in the case of a major medical decision, I already told you this, please get a second opinion. And then next, keep your body clean. Wash your hands many times. I do that, and I'm here at the church alone. But after Sunday, after we've shaken hands, I wash my hands with antibacterial soap. And it's out because I'm a germ freak. You absorb a lot of stuff through your hands. And then if you get germs on your hands and then you rub your eye, then you get it in your eye, and it's going in your, and then okay, I know you don't do that, but you all get the point? Wash your hands. You'd be amazed at how much washing your hands a lot keeps you healthy, and it helps you keep your body clean. Brush your teeth. You say, that's for you. Well, sort of, but no, here's the real reason you brush. Amen! Here's the real reason you brush your teeth. You don't leave rotten food in your mouth so that you can swallow it later. Did you know brushing your teeth helps you stay healthy? And it helps other people live with you too. But I'm absolutely amazed. How long has it been since you brushed your teeth? About 3 days. Leave food on the counter for 3 days, but you got it stuck in your teeth and then you're going to swallow it after it's rotten. That's good, isn't it? Come on now. Can we be real? Can we be real? Okay. Yeah, we're real. I need to throw up. Okay. Brush your teeth. When you brush your teeth, brush your tongue. Once again, it keeps rotten food from being swallowed. Keep your house clean. Keep the washroom extra clean. They said they did a test in a house, and this is what they did. They said, what area of a house has the most bacteria in it? And I know what everybody guesses.
Well, the toilet ring. Yeah, so it's the toilet ring.
No, it wasn't. Do you know what had the most bacteria in the house? The dish rag on the kitchen sink. Because they'll wipe it, do dishes, rinse it out, and leave it on the sink, right? Because that's what every mama does. You know, I started realizing, every time I smell bleach, you know, in the mixture, I always think of Grandma. Because Grandma used bleach on everything. And do you know how Grandma kept the disease down? There was always that little bowl up there by the sink. It had a lot of water and a few drops of bleach in it. And that's where the rag was kept. And germs can't live in the bleach. Isn't that amazing? See, the things we learn at church. This is good. This is good. Okay, this will help you. As far as how can you keep the germs and the disease? Now, please keep your bathroom. He said we don't have to clean the bathroom. I didn't say that. Okay, I just said it's not what you think it is. It's the dish rag on the kitchen sink that had the leading bacteria in tests of houses. Wash the dishes well. This is the first house we've had where we don't have a dishwasher. And I mean we have dishwashers. Okay. but we don't have one of those that run on hot water. When our kids were little, we always had a dishwasher. You know why? My dad, he said, son, the temperature of that water, when it goes up, it kills the bacteria. And it'll cut down on sickness in your house. If you can afford a dishwasher, get a dishwasher. It really does help eliminate germs and bacteria. It's not the only thing. I'm just trying to give you some points. So I said, keep your house clean. Next, and we're almost done here, gang. Ready? When possible, buy generic prescriptions. They're the same things. Always ask the doctor about them. Next, don't ever trust the hospital billings. Check on them. When you get a bill from the hospital, we've had many mistakes made. We didn't do this. We didn't do this either. We'll call, and they adjust it. Don't ever trust hospital billings. Keep in mind, it is how they make money. They're all not crooks, but some of them are. Next, eat right. Did you know if you take meat out of your diet, you'll require less sleep? We don't have time to go into it tonight, but before the flood, God gave them every herb for meat. They were vegetarians. That's how they lived to be over 900 years old. There's two things. The atmosphere was different, and their diet was different. After the flood, God said, you know what? 120 years is about as long as you need to live. The atmosphere changed, and God put meat in the diet. If you take meat out of your diet, you can get by with less sleep. Meat's very hard to digest. It's very hard to digest. I'm not vegan, okay? There's nothing vegan about me, okay? However, you do need to listen to what I just said, and that's a Bible principle. When God wanted to shorten our lives because of our sin nature, He put meat in the diet. Okay? That's when He gave them the dietary laws. If you would pay attention to when you eat, it will help you. Nobody should be eating about 4 to 5 hours before you go to bed. That's why normal supper time is at 5 o'clock. Because normal bedtime is at 10, unless you're working night shift. Right? But if you're eating late at night and then you go to bed, you always wake up tired because your body digests through the night instead of rests. Then you're tired. So that's why we don't do that just because it's an American custom. Eat right and it will help you. Drink lots of water. Did you know they said 90% of all Americans, these are the medical statistics, 90% of all Americans are dehydrated. Most headaches come from lack of water. So when you get a headache, drink water. Before they always taught us this. Before you go to bed at night, drink a lot of water. It'll help you get up. But wait a second. Did you know they said when they studied the body, they said between 4 a.m. and 8 a.m. in the morning is the body's cleansing time. That's when the body starts to cleanse. You have to give your body things to wash the muscles, to cleanse the blood, to cleanse the digestive tract, all of that stuff. And so the first thing you ought to do when you get up in the morning, it shouldn't be a cup of coffee. It should be a big glass of water. You put water, you're 87% water? If they took all the water out of your body, you'd be a pile of minerals about this big. You understand? You're mostly water. What now? Some bigger piles. Yeah, so at any rate, you get what I'm saying. Drink a lot of water. What is the rule? You're supposed to take your weight, divide it by 2, and that's how many ounces of water you're supposed to drink a day. Everybody's going, oh my goodness. That's how much water. Take your weight in pounds. Divide it by 2, and that's how many ounces of water you're supposed to drink a day. That's good. Think about it just for a second. And it's supposed to be over several gallons. If people did that, one nutritionalist, 3 college guys challenged him to a run. This was a walk across Death Valley. 3 college guys. This guy was 70-something. And he said, you guys aren't going to make it. They were taking all this protein and all this stuff. He said, I can make it just with water. And he did. He did. A walk across Death Valley. The 3 college guys, they thought they had it with all their energy. And he toasted them. Do you know why? He did it with water. Most of us need more water. We need more water. If you would do that, you'd sleep better and you would have a better day. Finally, ready? Exercise. Exercise. Take vitamins. Don't eat or drink after other people. We ought to work at that. Sleep right. Want 2 more here and then we'll close with this. I could take you in the Bible and show you where being a gossip will limit your life. It'll ruin your health. Don't gossip. I can take you in the Bible and show you where living right will lengthen your life. And sin will shorten your life. That's taught over and over in the Bible. So, Bible principles on health. We're not going to go through all of those tonight. I hope this is going into the holidays. Enjoy the family time. Enjoy the food. But at least if you could have some thoughts about Bible principles, God does say, take care of your body. God does say, take care of your body. You only got one. Let's pray. Father, please, I wish this to be a help tonight.